Welcome to the Fantasy Finessers Podcast. I'm Eddie Wasserman. Thank you guys for joining us. I'm joined here as always by Colin Kapoor. Colin, how are you today?
Doing good, Maddie. Doing good. It's a bit of an early show for us. We're recording on Monday instead of Tuesday, but you know what? It's gotta get into week 11 now.
Yeah, well, we had Thanksgiving coming up, so a bit of a change of schedules. Giants and Buccaneers going to be playing a few hours after recording this, but so much happened on yesterday that we had to come on here and talk about it. And you know, we start off every week with winners and losers, and I think we have to do that as always this week. And it'd be disingenuous. I mean, there's not that much for us to like really break down beyond the obvious about the performances of Jonathan Taylor and Austin Eckler yesterday, but it feels like we have to start with them, right? 53 for Taylor, 41 for Eckler. These were game-winning performances from them yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, you saw on Twitter, I think PFF posted, send us your coolest fantasy pictures of Jonathan Taylor and Austin Eckler, whose team's putting up 280 points, having both these guys on the roster.
And I actually saw Matthew Berry tweet out someone's fantasy that had Taylor and Eckler and lost.
Oh, well, yeah.
But I mean, that's they were all a rays of spectrum, but I mean, these were two of the best performances of the season.
Yeah, I mean, Taylor, 53.4 points, 185 rushing yards, 4 touchdowns. I mean, 200 total yards and 5 touchdowns. It gets shades of that Alvin Kamara game last year where I think he ran for 6 touchdowns or something like this. And, I mean, Jonathan Taylor, I think, ranked as the number one running back going forward this season, especially than Austin Eckler. I mean, he's an emblem of consistency in a very good offense. I mean, we saw earlier this season where he was projected to be used as the Alvin Kamara of this offense. And after a couple of down weeks, honestly, he had 11 and 14 points coming into this week.
And by the way, those last two games, weeks 9 and 10, he had 3 receptions in each of those games, which was not characteristic for him, but he came back 6 receptions for 65 yards. And that's where Eckler really shines as that top-level fantasy back.
And yeah, this Chargers-Steelers game was the kind of game we thought the Chiefs-Cowboys
game was
going to be, right? Just back and forth scoring. And Austin Eckler, obviously the beneficiary, was 2 receiving touchdowns and those late touchdowns to go along with it. And, you know, you didn't expect the Steelers to put up, you know, however many points they did. I think it was like 39 or 37.
Yeah, the game got crazy.
Yeah, but, I mean, Austin Eckler going against Denver, Cincinnati, New York, and KC, I mean, he's the number 2 running back in PPR right now. I think he'll be ranked top 5, obviously, rest of the season.
Yeah, and I mean, listen, those are probably the 2 top running backs, maybe McCaffrey. We can get to that in a second. But I think we just had to mention that off the top because, listen, you're not trading either of those guys. Those are people you're riding on hoping to win the leagues with. But I think in terms of what was most notable from the winners of yesterday, and even though the team lost, Cam Newton was a winner. Now, we kind of talked about him last week being a winner because he came in for those 8 plays. He had those 2 rushing touchdowns. He didn't even know the playbook. He'd been on the roster for 2 days, and he kind of had this good performance. And this was the first time against Washington this week where he actually was tested as a starting quarterback, and he showed up, 26 points. And he, you know, he was really efficient, 21 for 27, and they weren't asking him to throw the ball downfield too much, but he was making the reads and not making mistakes. He didn't throw any interceptions and 2 passing touchdowns, but it was those 10 carries that really stood out. 6 of those 10 carries being designed runs, and that's really what you want to see. It's not only that he can scramble, but they are making it a point and effort in this offense to draw up rushing plays for him.
Yeah, that's Cam Newton's MO, right? He is a rushing quarterback. He's big. He uses that size to get rushing touchdowns. And we saw, I think, a 20 or 19 yard rushing touchdown.
Great
design run, great play once again by Cam Newton, and 26 fantasy points. And he's not going to push the ball downfield, obviously. That's not really his game anymore. We saw he had that elbow injury or shoulder injury a couple years ago that really kind of sapped his arm strength. But I mean, DJ Moore finally got a touchdown. He finally had a decent fantasy week, maybe not amazing. Let me see what it was. I'm not 100% sure. He had 5 catches, 50 yards, a touchdown, like one of the best games
on 7 targets
in a month. Yeah, for DJ Moore. I mean, actually, his best game since week 4 for DJ
Moore.
Well,
I mean, here's the thing. This entire offense, beyond just Cam, is going to be hugely upgraded by having Cam there because Sam Darnold was performing as the worst quarterback in the league. He had the worst EPA per play out of any quarterback in the NFL, and that's including, you know, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields. Like, that's including everyone, Davis Mills. Like, Sam Darnold was that bad. You put Cam into the offense, and listen, and they're not chucking the ball down the field. This isn't going to be the most dynamic offense, but someone that can make the proper reads and that's able to just be efficient in that offense has a huge impact on starting to make DJ Moore come back because, you know, like, Moore's had an interesting season, right? Because he's wide receiver 12 on the year, and he has had a good year, but so much of that production came at the beginning when that first month of the season he was averaging crazy amounts where, like, week 2 through 4 he had upwards of 20 points in each of those weeks, and he really came back down to earth once he got into, you know, this terrible Carolina offense. But for 16 points this week, now Moore all of a sudden, like, you're a Moore owner. He was great at the beginning of the season. He was down. Like, now I think you can kind of start him again and feel good about it with Newton there.
Yeah, and Robbie Anderson, if you did drop him, I would not rush to pick him up again. He only had 8 fantasy points. He did have 6 targets, but, I mean, like we said, Robbie Anderson is a deep threat. That's kind of his game. And
that's not really Newton's
game. That's not Newton's game at all. And Robbie Anderson, definitely one of the bigger letdowns of this fantasy season. I drafted him. Yeah, I would keep him on the waiver wire for sure. And then with Cam Newton, you know, maybe you're worried about Christian McCaffrey not being as effective in goal line carries. He only had 10 carries in the game, but 7 catches, 60 yards, and a touchdown. And this offense, Christian McCaffrey in his best fantasy year, that was when Cam Newton was his quarterback. So I think Christian McCaffrey right back up there as a top 3 running back. He played 90% of the snaps this week.
Yeah, I mean, I also think it's interesting. He's averaging 12 carries per game in the 3 games that he's been back early this season. When you contrast that to the beginning of the season, where he had 45 carries in his first 2 games, the 2 games he was healthy in weeks 1 and 2. So they're clearly mitigating his work as a back in the backfield, but they're still using him just as much as a receiver with 7 receptions this week. He had 10 against Arizona in week 10. So I ultimately think McCaffrey, even though he's not getting quite as many rushes, with Newton there, they have this dynamic together. And you see it on, I mean, you see it on the field. I know they played against your Washington team this week. Like, you see it on the field, they have this dynamic together. And they're just running McCaffrey through these angle routes over and over and over again all across the middle of the field. And he's this check down option that Cam knows how to find. In PPR, it's immensely valuable. And that's letting McCaffrey just going right back to this, you know, points per game production. That's just awesome. He's averaging 20 a game on the season. And that's including the game where he left early. So McCaffrey's awesome when he's healthy.
Yeah, it goes without saying. He does have a bye coming up in week 13, but I mean,
it's a late bye, yeah.
Late bye, yeah, which you don't love to see. But, you know, maybe, like you said last week, maybe try to get Cam more acclimated into the offense if he even needs to be at this point. This is obviously a Carolina Panthers team he is very familiar with. And, I mean, they did end up losing to Washington. Washington's defense, obviously not as great as, you know, it was projected to be in the beginning of the season without Chase Young and Montez Sweat there now. But, I mean, I mean you have Cam Newton. I think you pick him up off the waiver wire going to this week. I think you can start him with
relative confidence. He's a QB1 right now, yeah.
Against Miami, yeah.
Yep, so I think he's a QB1. And, again, Carolina lost the game. But in terms of the offense and the fantasy outlook, definitely positive. A team that did win the game that who's really trending upwards all of a sudden right now is San Francisco. Now, this is a bizarre game because they just own Jacksonville, and something that's happened to Jacksonville all season long, a 30-10 victory, and it wasn't even that close. They put away this game so early on, and they only attempted 22 passes in the entirety of the game. That being said, though, they still had solid production. Ayuk puts up 21 points. Deebo Samuel, 16. Kittle had 4 receptions, and he had it on a touchdown. So even though they didn't have a lot of reception, I mean, they only attempted 22 passes in this game, they still were able to find some work for those receivers. And I think that the arrow is certainly pointing up on Ayuk, who's a guy who was like, he was benched early in the season.
Yeah, he put up a goose early in the season, and then there were the comments by Kyle Shanahan. He's not working in practice and things like this. And then, you know, you expected with a player of this talent, and I mean, we saw last year the kind of plays that he makes, the hurdles and all of this. He was
a first-round pick.
First-round pick, exactly. He had 6 catches, 89 yards, and a touchdown in week 9 against Arizona. But then, I mean, the first week of the season, he gets 0 points. Next week, 1.6 points, and the arrow was going down. And, you know, maybe, like, fantasy guys were, like, maybe trade for him. But then, and you know, a month goes by, he's still putting up 2 points, 5 points, 1 point, and then I think finally in the offense, maybe it's starting to find its
footing. Listen, 7 targets in 3 of his last 4 games. Yeah. And double digits in those 3 games, he was able to get the 7 targets. And I think the fact that even though he got 7 targets out of those 22 passes from Jimmy G, like, fine. Ayuk's a guy who now at this point in the season was so bad for so long. But if you're needy, I think this is a flex play, Ayuk.
Yeah, no, for sure. He's not going to be, maybe you draft him as a wide receiver too. He's not going to be there. I mean, I don't think anyone really predicted the emergence of Deebo Samuel the way that it has been this year, just how completely dominant he's been. And so I think some predictions were Ayuk was going to be the alpha wide receiver. Yeah. That's not the case
anymore. And the talent's still, like, you watch Ayuk play and sometimes wow.
There's no question. A lot of the guys in the NFL, the talent is not a question. It's just, you know, getting the reps or getting the targets or things like this. So, Deebo Samuel had just a wacky game.
He had
2 targets, 1 catch, 15 yards, but then best running back on the team, Deebo Samuel, 8 carries, 79 yards, and a touchdown there. And I mean, a lot of those, like, design wide receiver carries, not like, you know, snaps from the backfield, like, right, running up the gut. But, you know, if it works, it works. And Deebo Samuel totals, 17 fantasy points even with only two targets.
And I think a lot of that also comes down to who's in their backfield. Jeff Wilson, we mentioned Jeff Wilson last week as a waiver wire pickup, and he was close to having more points. Now, he only ends up putting up 6.8 points, but he had 19 carries for 50 yards, a pretty dismal. So now he's had two games, Jeff Wilson, this season. He's only played in two games this season. Week 10, he averaged 10 carries, 20 yards, 2.8 yards per carry. This time, 19 rushes, 50 yards. That's 2.6 per carry. So it has been really inefficient for Jeff Wilson. But if he's getting this volume, and he had one reception for 8 yards in this game, if he gets this volume, he was close to a touchdown.
He was, yeah.
And if he's getting this volume, I still say start him as a flex.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was – Jimmy Garoppolo missed him on a wide-open touchdown pass. And it was just a bad throw.
And if that
he
happens –
catches his pass, 7 extra fantasy points –
if that happens, we're coming here 13 points for, like, great start to Wilson next week.
And, you know, Trey Sermon, after being inactive a couple weeks early this season, he did cut into that snap share, but that was to be expected. No one is expecting Jeff Wilson Jr. to be on the field for 100% of snaps. Trey Sermon cut in 23 snaps to Jeff Wilson's 41. But Wilson also, this is a bit unexpected in my opinion, he ran more routes than Trey Sermon did, and he got obviously more targets and more carries. So if Elijah Mitchell is still out going into week 12.
Which it looks like he might be.
He might be. I mean, with finger injuries, it's tough especially for running backs. You know, you got to carry the ball and fumble issues in any situation. You know, you want to make sure you can keep the ball secure. So, I mean, if they do end up holding Elijah Mitchell out, I think he'll...
I think you start Wilson. Yep.
Yeah. And, I mean, like you said, Wilson wasn't as effective, but the potential volume should keep him on fantasy roster.
Yep. So I want to shift now to another winner. And this was one of the best games of the day, Green Bay, Minnesota.
Absolutely.
The winner coming out of this has to be Justin Jefferson, Kirk Cousins, and this Minnesota team. And actually, Thielen, too, by the way, 8 receptions for himself. But what a day for this Minnesota team. Unbelievable game. It was like a vintage Rodgers back and forth. Minnesota wins it on a field goal. It was a great game. And the byproduct of that was Justin Jefferson putting up 37 points and announcing himself. He's now up to wide receiver 5 on the season after this performance. Now 3 straight weeks of upwards of 17 points. He's been huge lately for them. And now double-digit targets 2nd week in a row. Justin Jefferson, the arrow's pointing up as we get to crunch time.
Yeah, I mean, Justin, the talent, like I've been saying, has never been in question.
Oh, and it's ridiculous.
And this is there's an interesting stat here that is not necessarily, you know, it's so expected, this kind of stat, that you wonder why, you know, Jefferson hasn't been getting the targets. There have been 5 times this year where Vikings have given Jefferson double-digit targets. And in those 5 games, they've scored 34, 34, 33, 30, and 27 points as a team.
Right.
And then the 4 games where Jefferson has 8 targets or fewer, Minnesota has 73 total points in those 4 games.
It's a great stat, yeah.
And the game against Dallas is the biggest look at that, where he had 2 catches for 21 yards on just 4 looks. And, I mean, Minnesota didn't obviously perform in that game. And the bottom line here, Justin Jefferson, always open, always, you know, you throw the ball to him, he's gonna make the catch. He can outrun defenders, he can high point the ball, and there's no really optimal way to defend him. And, you know, he was like the number 21 wide receiver, maybe going to week 10, and now he's up at number 5. He's got, matchup-wise, like, it doesn't even matter.
And
like,
here's the direct correlation to that, right? You mentioned that from the perspective of the entire Vikings offense. It also matches up exactly with Kirk Cousins' production. And here's the thing with Cousins. Now, you look at him in isolation as a fantasy quarterback. It's interesting, right? Because week 1 through 3, that was like Kirk Cousins was awesome, right? He averaged 24 points a game over those first 3 weeks. Well, then he hit this wall, and that, by the way, coincided with Jefferson's wall. I mean, obviously, there's a correlation, right? It's their quarterback receiver.
Yeah.
It makes sense. The Vikings' offense was not as good during the time. Well, weeks 9 to 11, when Jefferson's been targeted more and had that better fantasy production, all of a sudden Kirk Cousins is averaging 21 points per game over his last 3 games, weeks 9 through 11, the same time, consequently, that Jefferson's production's uptick. There's a correlation there. If the Vikings as a team can keep this up, all of a sudden both Cousins, I think Cousins could be a viable quarterback. I mean, he's been pretty
QB
good.
QB 9
of the season. QB 8 on ESPN. I don't know. I think Cousins is startable.
Yeah, I mean, this Green Bay game was, like we said, a back and forth
high
game.
Scoring, right.
High scoring in against San Francisco. You know, maybe you could expect the same kind of thing against Detroit week 13. You know, that's a pretty good spot for this entire defense. Entire offense, I should say. And Kirk Cousins, like you said, there's that stretch maybe week 4 and 5 where he had 11 and 14 points. You're like, you know, there's always this narrative with Kirk. He's not worth the money that he's getting paid and all this. And
but he's a good quarterback.
He's a good quarterback.
Top half. Of
the yeah, league. The Vikings have had some – I think this is a great game for the Vikings offense. Just, I mean, they beat the potential number one team in the NFL, and they've been unlucky this season. You know, their record isn't indicative of how good they actually are. But one thing I do want to talk about, Dalvin Cook puts up 20 fantasy points, and I don't know, he gets four targets in this game. He rushes for 80 yards and a score, and I don't know, when Alexander Mattison, I noted this a couple weeks ago, when Alexander Mattison was the lead back with Dalvin Cook out, they ran similar amounts of routes. They ran around 23 to 25 routes, but Mattison got seven targets, and Dalvin Cook has only had
four that one targets. Game against Detroit. Also, Mattison just got what, like 32 touches in Week 5. That was like one crazy game.
Yeah, it's with Cook's injury history, it does make sense. When Cook is out, Mattison just gets more touches. And I mean, Mattison, I noted this, he had eight targets in Week 3 against Seattle when Cook was out, seven targets in Week 5 versus Detroit when Cook was out, and Cook hasn't matched that target volume at all. And you know, when both of these players are on the field, it doesn't limit Cook's upside in the fact that you're not starting him, because you are, he's a top seven back. He's not the top, I mean, I drafted him second or third running back overall. Yeah. Like, he's not going to be up there with the emergence of Eckler and Taylor and players like this. So it's just interesting that they're not giving Cook the targets that they would give Mattison when Cook is out. And they're also not giving him the same amount of touches either.
Well, I don't think the issue, I mean, it's been uncharacteristically inefficient lately.
Yeah.
So this is now three straight games for Cook with over 100 scrimmage yards. And that's great, right? And, you know, 100 scrimmage yards from Cook, that's fine. But 3.9 yards per carry in each of the last two games, that's not great for Cook. He has to be more efficient. And, you know, if he's going to get 20-plus carries a game, fine. But he has to be a little bit more efficient with them. And I think you're happy, of course, with the production that he's given you. But in this type of game, he doesn't pop on the field. I think the eye test, he's not popping on the field, at least not to me, the same way he has in past seasons. And who knows if this injury is just luck, blocking, downfield, whatever it is. But it's not certainly that like burst and pop is not quite there in the same way that we've seen it in past.
Yeah, there was a couple of plays where you might have seen it, and he maybe getting 15 or so yards on a carry or something like this. But you know, the needle is still pointing up after that injury. He's in the past 3 weeks, he's gotten 20 points in two of them, and that's in the 1 week in the past three, that was week 9, where he didn't get 20 points. He just didn't get that touchdown. He still had 6.47 yards per carry. So I mean, yeah, Dalvin Cook, like I said, he's not up there with Eckler, Jonathan Taylor, and players like that. I don't think he will be this season, but he has a pretty soft schedule coming up. He's got Detroit again. He's got San Francisco. But, I mean, he does have Chicago and the Rams in the fantasy playoffs, which is a bit tough. But, you have him. You're not dealing him, so you're just going to have to
hold on. And, by the way, a quietly strong week for Adam Thielen, who, in his last five games, has averaged nine targets per game. And all of a sudden, that production is starting to kind of creep up to where you would expect it with those targets. Kind of regression, 22 points this week on 8 receptions for 82 yards. So that's a guy, like, he's actually wide receiver 8 in the season. And you wouldn't even know it, right? Because it feels like, you know, Jefferson's in this offense, and they were kind of down and whatever. But Thielen has been good yet again, and that's a constant theme with Thielen. It's been years now where no one really pays attention to him that much, but he's just such a solid player.
Yeah, 8 touchdowns this year in 10 weeks of play is what is going to get you to wide receiver 8. Justin Jefferson has 6 touchdowns, obviously helped by this 2-touchdown game. And yards-wise, obviously, Thielen isn't close to Jefferson. Jefferson has 944 compared to Thielen's 624. But, you know, the touchdowns are going to get him there. And this is the first – it's been a while since we've seen both of these players have, you know, great fantasy weeks. I think 20-plus they haven't matched up yet. So it's that obviously is a byproduct of the back-and-forth nature of this game. So Thielen's still the number 8 wide receiver. You're still starting him, and you're hoping that that touchdown upside just keeps. I mean, he's looked in the end zone like all the time.
So I want to shift to the Eagles, and the Eagles are a team. We talked about Jalen Hurts a few weeks ago, and I'll take responsibility for this one. It was not my best work. I said Jalen Hurts, like, he was peaking, the whole thing. He was one of the best quarterbacks, but it's got a fall. The Eagles were bad, whatever. Well, all of a sudden, Jalen Hurts is up to QB1 on the season, and the Eagles are booming. And you look at their schedule over the next few weeks, it's just the NFC East and the Jets. And that's pretty much all they have the rest of the season. The arrow is certainly pointing up for Philly.
Yeah, there was that 7-week stretch where Jalen Hurts had 20-plus fantasy points. He was, I think, number 2 fantasy quarterback over that stretch behind, it might have been Kyler, I'm not 100% sure. Or maybe Josh Allen, but the fantasy production was good in that stretch, but the real life production was bad. The Eagles looked dysfunctional. Jalen Hurts was not effective as a passer. Only garbage time were the fantasy points coming. But then the stretch after week 7, week 8, 9, 10, the Eagles win those games against Detroit, LA Chargers, and Denver, And the fantasy production isn't really there. He has 11 fantasy points, 16 fantasy points, 18, which is fine, but it's not what you want to see from the number two overall quarterback. But the Eagles were looking good. And then in this game, both of these worlds collide. Eagles look great. They win this game against New Orleans, put up 40 total points, I believe. And Jalen Hurts gets 30 fantasy points. And this is what you want to see. He does have his bye coming up in week 14. But like you said, Giants, Jets, bye, Washington football team. Giants, Washington football team, and then week 18 is Dallas, but you don't
worry. And the Hurts rushing numbers are crazy. Now, he has 18 carries in this game. 18. I mean, on a couple of those were kneel downs at the end.
Yeah.
But those 18 carries, that is unbelievable production. That's probably not sustainable. But no. Three touchdowns on the ground on that many carries, just crazy. And this Philly rushing attack all of a sudden was something they weren't really highlighting at the beginning of the season. They were trying to kind of pass, and like Nick Sirianni, new coach, was like trying to sell his pass-first identity. And at this point, they've kind of gone to this rushing attack that's clearly work better for them as a team. It's also yielding better fantasy results across the board. And I think we need to talk about this running game because Miles Sanders comes back this week and he has a good week. 16 carries is the most carries he's had on any game this season. But there was also action from Jordan Howard in this game. There was action from Boston Scott. How do we evaluate this rushing attack going forward?
Yeah, like you were saying, they have changed their identity. They were trying to be a pass-first offense and it was laughably horrible how Jalen Hurts wasn't accurate. He had in the first 7 weeks, like I said, where his fantasy value was good, he had upwards of 30 pass attempts a game. But now in the past few weeks where the fantasy value hasn't been there, he's passed 14 times, 17 times, 23 times, but this game passes 24 times. And the rushing is where the Eagles are gonna shine. 18 carries, 69 yards for Jalen Hurts. But I mean, like we said, I think he had four kneel downs. And then for the running backs, Miles Sanders has 16 carries, 94 yards, and he did lose a fumble. He had a fumble issue that was negated on a forward progress. And Jordan Howard is going to be out week 12. He's expected to miss because of a knee sprain. So Miles Sanders, I think, is going to push 20 carries. I think he's going to get upwards of 50-60% of the snaps, and then Boston Scott's going to go in on passing downs. But the receiving upside is capped because Jalen Hurts doesn't throw that much and doesn't look too
bad. And yes, the receiving upside is capped for two reasons on Sanders. The first one being that you're right, Hurts doesn't really utilize his arm that often. And secondly, Boston Scott outsnapped Miles Sanders on passing downs this week, and he ran more routes than him.
Yeah.
So that's clearly what I think the focus is going to be. But if Miles Sanders is going to get that work on the goal line and he's going to be the featured back, I think you can probably start him, and I wouldn't say that early or in the season, and even so, he's still probably a flex option. I wouldn't say go anything more than that really right now, just because of his track record on the entire season has not really been that good. Week one, he had 17 points. Since then, he's had 10 or fewer in every single game he's played in.
And their NFC East opponents, the Cowboys, are probably another one of the biggest losers this week.
Transitioned
over to losers. Cowboys, they in what would have been the game of the week, the game of the season, like Chiefs.
It looked like it because you were looking at that roster of games this week, and you were like, you know what, the Sunday Night Football game, that's kind of a bad game, whatever. But that 425 Chiefs Cowboys game, that's the game, and then it's a complete dud.
Yeah, the Cowboys lose. Chiefs only put up 19 points, and CeeDee Lamb is out with an injury. He's diagnosed with a concussion. It looked like maybe I thought it would be like a rib injury. If you saw the play, the DB just landed really hard on top of him, and it was an underthrown ball by Dak in the end zone. CeeDee Lamb probably could have come up with it if Dak threw the ball, in a perfect amount. But, I think with CeeDee Lamb, they're saying he might be okay to play Thursday in the Thanksgiving game against the Raiders, but concussion protocol is a bit stringent, so you'll have to just wait and see. But Amari Cooper ruled out for this week and then also ruled out for week 12 with COVID.
And I think that it's interesting because CeeDee Lamb this week, even before the injury, he wasn't producing that much. And no one on this Cowboys offense did. Zeke puts up 12 points. And I think Zeke is an interesting question as we approach his later part of the season because of the expectations. And he's RB7 on the season. He's had a good year, right? But it's the way he's doing it over his last four games, he's just not getting the carrying production he was getting earlier in the season or that you're accustomed to seeing from Zeke. He has 9 carries for 32 yards this week. So much of that, of course, is due to Tony Pollard and the work he's done. But Zeke puts up 6 receptions this week on all catches, all 6 of his targets, and that's an encouraging sign. I don't know how to kind of like mitigate Zeke because, of course, you have him, they're starting him, but like how we kind of weigh him at this point in the season, it's just this awkward thing where now he's put up 12 points or fewer in 3 of his last 4 games. Like, this is not an upward trajectory for Zeke at this point of the year.
Yeah, no, and a lot of his poor games have come in games where the Cowboys offense hasn't looked good.
Yeah.
In this game, like you were saying, he looked worse than Tony Pollard, and this has happened throughout the season where Tony Pollard has looked like the more electric back, and Zeke, it's been the touchdowns that have been keeping him afloat. It's not high rushing yardage numbers. He had
2 week stretch or 3 week stretch, week 3, 4, and 5, where he had 95, 143, 110 rushing yards. But other than that, like, the receiving work has been great, but it's not been efficient. And, you know, Tony Pollard has just looked better. But going into a game against Vegas, where, you know, with the, you want the wide receivers to be back if you're a Zeke Elliott owner, just so the offense looks better and is more coherent, more fluid. But if you have Zeke Elliott, he's the number 7 running back, you're probably a little bit worried. But I think, you know, you're hoping CeeDee Lamb comes back and the offense opens up just a little bit for him.
And the interesting thing is on Thanksgiving here with Cooper out, whether you turn to Michael Gallup or not, because he's only been back here for 2 weeks. He played week 1, he got hurt in against Tampa Bay. That was a long time ago. That was the first week of the season. Now he's been back for 2 games against Atlanta and Kansas City. He has 5 receptions for 44 yards this week. The analytics are not kind to Michael Gallup right now. They're not liking him. What he's done so far, he has just a 28.6% completion percentage on vertical passes so far that have been thrown to him in these last 2 games. It's not been a good start for him, but that being said, he gets the 5 receptions this week, and with Cooper out again, Lamb status up in the air, do you take a flyer on Michael Gallup at the flex this week?
Absolutely. He obviously outclassed CeeDee Lamb and then the rest of the wide receivers in snaps with 62 and then ran 46 routes compared to the next best wide receivers were Noah Brown and Cedric Wilson, who had 31. He had 10 targets. He had a couple end zone targets I saw. He did come down with them. But I think another huge beneficiary here is obviously Dalton Schultz. And at the tight end position where, you know, it's a wasteland. Yeah. And Dalton Schultz comes in with a solid fantasy game for a tight end. I mean, for anyone. I mean, 6 catches for 53 yards, 99% of the snaps, he's on the field.
Dalton Schultz, though, also coming off week 9 in Atlanta, 1 reception on 2 targets.
And that that obviously, I think that coincides with the with Michael Gallup coming back when all 3 receivers were on the field in Atlanta. I mean, we obviously saw CeeDee Lamb put up 94 yards and 2 touchdowns. But now in the game, even if CeeDee Lamb does come back, I think the absence of Amari Cooper, you're going to have Lamb and Gallup play on the outside. And when Lamb goes back into the slot, when Cooper is healthy, I think that is when you see Dalton Schultz lose some of his value. But with Cooper out, you know, he's already ruled out. I think Dalton Schultz is a surefire top 7 tight end.
I think so, and I think, like, with tight ends at this point, there's just no one. I mean, it really is so thin, and I think this is actually an interesting. I want to get into a bit of a tight end discussion here. I want to talk about Zach Ertz. Zach Ertz has 28 points this week. He had 8 receptions for 88 yards. And, like, Ertz, I mean, at this point, any tight end, right, he has enough value to be a tight end one. And it might seem like he has to be this must-start. This is a career-high tying for his career-high 2 touchdown receptions. This has not been, like, he's been great so far in Arizona. But he's only posted 2.7 red zone routes run per game over his past 3 weeks, which ranks 31st among tight ends in that time span. So even though he gets these 2 touchdowns this week, he's not getting a lot of looks or even a lot of opportunities in the red zone. So I think he's going to regress down. This is probably the peak of Ertz's value. That being said, you probably picked him up off.
As well.
He's going on his bye. I don't know. Ertz has a good week, but this kind of feels like the apex for him.
Yeah, I mean, a tight end apex 27 or 29 fantasy points. I mean, but this is Colt McCoy looking at the safety net option. I think you can say that with a reasonable certainty. Colt McCoy was a start in this game. And Zach Ertz, for all pass catchers, had the most snaps, the most routes run. Christian Kirk actually had 1 more route to run, but 5 less targets. And Rondale Moore had 11.
Yeah, he was another beneficiary of the Colt McCoy
and
check
down. And that was
down.
Just 11 catches for, 50 yards?
50 yards,
So I think Zach Ertz, if you're a tight end needy team, you might have to cut him just because he's going on his bye. But, you know, maybe trade him to a team that needs a tight end. You know, he is going on his bye, which I think with Zach Ertz, you hold him for the bye week, and then you try to trade him going to week 13 because that 29 fantasy point week is still fresh going off of the bye week.
Yeah, and the other thing is the health of Hopkins, Murray. Now, you get some time here. You get the bye week to hopefully get them healthy because it looks like those injuries, like the Cardinals with Colt McCoy, they're kind of trying to make things work, find some value. And Seattle's just so bad, they were able to scrap it out with McCoy again. But they need, for that offense to be really that relevant in fantasy, they need Murray, they need Hopkins back because right now in this current constitution, I mean, Connor, by the way, 20 points again. But I think tight ends in general have to just be considered losers because it's so hard to find any semblance of value with these guys at this point in the season. Like, we're just keep, like, trying to find people. And TJ Hawkinson, by the way, had a bounce back week. We mentioned he had that dud in the donut last week, and we were kind of like, can it get worse for him? He has 6 receptions, 51 yards, a little bit encouraging for him. But tight ends in general, it's just tough to find anything.
Yeah, and I wanted to say our first fan question of our illustrious
fan
career. We have Justin Diamond coming in. Goddard or Schultz at tight end next week? We're just talking about Dalton Schultz with Dallas Goddard obviously signing an extension. So, Maddie, what do you think about Dallas Goddard?
Wow, I got to say, this fan question, this is really, like, this is the good stuff right
here.
We've made it big now. We have fan questions.
Exactly.
This week, I think you go with Dallas Goddard, and here's why.
Yeah, I agree.
Dallas Goddard feels more sustainable to me in this offense because, you know, his targets, he had 8 targets this week. Now, he had 2 targets against Denver, but I see that as more of an anomaly because of his production over the last few weeks and the way that Hurts is really targeting him. And we mentioned how they've kind of changed the way this offense is shaped in over the past few weeks, and DeVonta Smith was getting a lot more action at the beginning of the season. Now they've sort of become more of this rushing offense with a tight end play, and I think that that benefits someone like Goddard. You mentioned the extension, but I think that Goddard's the much more reliable option at this point in the season.
Yeah, and just for Goddard versus Shelton this week, I think you go Schultz just because of the CeeDee Lamb questionable, and then Amari Cooper out. I think Dalton Schultz is going to be the starter. I think it's a better start for week 12.
Yeah, I think so. But as we said, tight end one, you're looking for anything. Now, I think another loser I want to get to on the week, I appreciate the fan question, but another loser we have to get to in this week is the Seattle Seahawks. Now, the Seahawks right now, I saw this thing, they had the 5th overall pick in the draft at NCAA, and they'd give it up to the Jets. This season has been a nightmare for them, and Wilson looks disoriented. He had some open players he was missed. Like, it was just a disastrous day for Seattle. And right now, like, I'm your scavenger for any fantasy value on this team.
Yeah, and you see, like, the articles after the loss against Green Bay as well, like, the end of an era. The end of the Seahawks' run of dominance, quote-unquote. And the defense, obviously, has been brutal for a while now. And this defense just got cooked by none other than Colt McCoy, who completed 80% of his passes, 328 yards. And on the offensive side, Russell Wilson, he just looks off. And Tyler Lockett, you're lucky he got a couple of big plays. I think he finished with 16 or 15 fantasy points. And the DK Metcalf, you know, I was really excited about him with Russ coming back. I thought he was going to go back to the production that he had earlier in the season where he was getting touchdowns and a lot of yards and things like this. But now, number 16 wide receiver in PPR, 2 straight weeks off the bye with 4 or less catches, and he has 7.1 fantasy points. It's just been a struggle for him in the Geno Smith era or run of games where he actually did okay. He had, you know, more than 10 fantasy points. He had that one big catch against New Orleans where he had like an 80-something yard touchdown. But if I'm a DK Metcalf owner, which I am very worried. I don't like
where
this
is. Well, there's 2 reasons to be worried. Since Wilson's come back, and first of all, Wilson, if you own Wilson in fantasy, I mean, it's an absolute nightmare right now what's going on with him. The 2 games he's been back, so week 10 against Green Bay, then this week against Arizona, he puts up single digits in both games. And the problem is that it's not like he's attacking downfield, it's just not connecting, whatever. He's really not attacking much downfield, and when he is, it's been super inefficient. So over these past 2 weeks, he's only completed 6 of 23 vertical passes down the field, and it's really not good because they're not setting up DK Metcalf in these situations to get big points. So DK Metcalf has 8 targets in each of the last 2 games, but it's been ugly for him in both games that he hasn't been able to put anything together. And right now, the trajectory for DK Metcalf is way down. I mean, he puts up 5 points against Green Bay, now 7 against Arizona, and it does not look good for him or anyone in the Seahawks offense. So it's hard to trust anyone right now with this team.
Yeah, and the, of course, as Russell Wilson goes, so goes the entire Seahawks offense.
Yes.
And so, you know, if you're struggling, you can't trust them. But you're not sitting DK Metcalf. You just can't. I spent maybe, I think, a second-round pick on him. And you can't sit a guy that
you start
his draft capital. And like we were talking about with Patrick Mahomes, like if you sit him, he goes off. You just feel horrible.
Yeah.
So I think I'm obviously worried, but he has gone through his bye week. I think he'll still be a top 10, maybe 12 wide receiver, but not the top 5 guy you drafted.
Right, and I think it's clear, like, Wilson's not himself coming off this finger injury. He rushed back. He had the whole thing where he was like, I've been rehabbing 20 hours a day. Like, all right. But anyways, Wilson has not looked like himself since coming back. And I think that this season is a lost season for the Seahawks. I mean, they don't really have much time. They've kind of run out of time to turn this ship around. It's just been a complete nightmare year for them right now. And it's hard to see where the motivation comes from for them to come on some like crazy stretch run here. I just don't really see it happening. And I think that translates to fantasy value too. You know, Tyler Lockett has 4 receptions, 115 yards on 5 targets. But again, like, he's been productive in the targets that he's getting. But
they're not a lot of targets.
They're not a lot of targets, and it's not really been that conducive of a season for Lockett. I mean, he's been fine again, but he's wide receiver 24 on the season. He's been healthy all year. So it hasn't been great for him. And this Seahawks offense, they're clearly a loser, and just what's been a horrendous season, and it's directly translate into the fantasy production.
Yeah, and also Chris Carson has undergone season-ending surgery. This was news from a couple days ago, so he's out for the season, and that leaves
DJ,
you know,
Dallas.
DJ Dallas had a touchdown in this game, I believe, and he had a solid fantasy game, I guess you could say, only 9.7 points. But you're not expecting anything from him going into this game. But now with Rashad Penny, who had a bit of hamstring tightness, so he was held out after a couple carries. And Alex Collins has had injury issues, so DJ Dallas is a waiver guy that maybe you want to add with Dallas handling only 37% of the snaps, but he was more effective than Alex Collins was. So if Penny does miss time, DJ Dallas will handle an increased role. He profiles as a bit of a pass-catching back as well as kind of that bruiser, which is an interesting profile. We saw last year with DJ Dallas, or maybe a couple years ago.
Chris Carson gets hurt every year, so
yeah,
DJ Dallas, therefore, is, like, relevant at this point of the season.
Yeah.
Like, week 12 is, like, DJ Dallas specialty time.
Yeah, DJ Dallas last year, which was his rookie year, he had, like, a couple games where he had 7 carries for 31 yards and 1 touchdown, 18 carries, 41 yards and a touchdown. But he also had games where with 5 catches and 3 catches. So I think he's a solid waiver pickup. Unfortunately, the offense is pretty dysfunctional, so the upside is obviously.
Yeah, if you really are desperate for running backs at this point. So I want to get to one more loser here before we get out of here, and that's Buffalo. Buffalo got humiliated against Indianapolis. We talked about the flip side at the very top of the show with the performance of Jonathan Taylor and how good he was in this game. The other side of the ball, Buffalo has just turned into a disaster. After like 2 or 3 weeks ago, we were talking about this Buffalo team is like, oh, like, this team's awesome, team to be in the AFC. And they had that Jacksonville game. And since then, it's just been this weird downward spiral for the team. And it looks pretty ugly for this entire team. And Josh Allen, who was just this fantasy superstar and MVP candidate, whatever, the first few weeks of the season, all of a sudden, it's not looking great for him in real life. His fantasy production's still been all right, but there's a lot of concern for this Bills offense.
Yeah, he threw a couple picks in this game, and you know, we talk about the Bills, they beat up on really good, really bad teams, but then they lose to the Jacksonville Jaguars, and then they get demolished by the Colts.
And the other thing is, and whatever,
to the Titans,
the semblance of production that did happen in this offense this week was pretty much garbage time.
Yeah, yeah, and Diggs ends up with a couple touchdowns, but like no yards and only 4 catches, I believe. Let me check. Yeah, he scores twice, 4 catches for 23 yards and 2 touchdowns. So fantasy-wise, you're fine with that coming off of his 30-point week.
He got a touchdown in the fourth quarter when the game was way
out. Yeah, and the Bills' offense, like, maybe they're not the elite team that we thought, and the Patriots have honestly looked better over the past month or so. I think
in the AFC East.
I think by far they've looked better. Mac Jones has made the Patriots into a maybe not fantasy relevant team just because it's a Bill Belichick team, but he's made them into a NFL, you know, very, very solid team. So the Bills, you got to trust the talent. I feel like you have to with Diggs, Allen. There's no running backs to speak of, which is unfortunate. But and another Bills option, Emmanuel Sanders, he was okay. He has been okay in the past couple of weeks. He hasn't been above 10 points in a while, but he only has 26 yards on 3 catches. And a bunch of those were early in the game, and then he was kind of relegated to nothing. And you know, if you have Emmanuel Sanders, I have him in a couple of leagues, I think you're worried. I think he might be worth a cut.
Emmanuel Sanders has had some roller coaster of a season here. I mean, I feel like we've like mentioned him a lot, but over the last 4 weeks, it's been absolutely horrible. He had this stretch from week 3 to week 6 where he was putting up like 13 to 20 something points on a game by game basis, and you were like, this is an elite player. And then he put up that 0 against Miami, and since then, it's been 10 or under in the last few games. I think Sanders could be a cut at this point. And Diggs, he's gotten 5 touchdowns pretty recently. Over the last 5 games, he's gotten 5 touchdowns, and that's what you want to see from him. Even though this did come in garbage time, he still was able to salvage 18 points. So Diggs, you're riding out at this point of the season. That was another one of my takes that I'll admit wasn't my best.
Yeah, Diggs and Allen, you drafted them high, you're riding with them. And fantasy-wise, 18 fantasy points in it's been a really odd NFL season. No one expected the Colts to come on and run the ball down the Bills' throats, and the Bills had, you know, what profiled to be a great defense. Fantasy-wise, they've been a solid defense. Even with the game against Indianapolis where they had -4 fantasy points as defense, they're still the number 3 overall. And rushing-wise, they limit rushing production, but Jonathan Taylor is in a class of his own at this point.
Yes. I mean, Jonathan Taylor is stupid how good he was this week. And, of course, he's not going to score 5 touchdowns again, but it was just great. Now, we have one more fan question here.
Yeah. Before we get out of here, the fan questions are coming in high, you know.
Yeah, we can't keep up with the demand.
Yeah, we can't keep up with the demand. The next fan question we got is a quarterback question. Is Matt Stafford or Dak Prescott in week 12? Dak Prescott is facing off against the Raiders,
in the Thanksgiving game, and then Matt Stafford is playing against Green Bay in what should be a good game, but who knows anymore? Like, it could be like another 10-7 game. Like, who knows?
Now, this is actually a good question, and here's why. Both of these players are coming off horrible games. I mean, Matt Stafford, in that 31-10 horrible loss to San Francisco last week, they had a bye this week, the Rams, but in that game last week where they lost 31-10, he had 9 fantasy points, and he was not good. 26 for 41. He had 2 picks in the game, and it was just a down week for that offense in general. I mean, not Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp doesn't have down weeks.
He doesn't have down weeks.
Yeah, obviously, like, that's a given. But for everyone else except Cooper Kupp, who still had 23 points, which is just, like, Cooper Kupp being Cooper Kupp, everyone was down. Dallas, we saw so much of the same with all the injuries. That's like, we saw a lot of the same for them in this ugly game that they had, that 19-9 loss. And Dak Prescott had 2 points, 28 for 43, 216 yards, 2 picks for him. So basically, they had the same week. Stafford threw a touchdown, Dak didn't. But for both of these players, coming off bad games in two of what are theoretically top 5 NFL offenses, who do we favor?
I'm going to go Matt Stafford here. The Green Bay defense has had, you know, ups and downs, but they recently did, like we talked about, get lit up by Kirk Cousins to the tune of 341 total passing yards. The Raiders defense, you know, we talked about this. They're not that good, but Joe Burrow kind of, although the Bengals did win this game, Joe Burrow got shut down through the air, only totaling 148 passing yards. So I think Matt Stafford, he's had 2 bad weeks in a row against Tennessee and San Francisco. I think the bye week, rest and regroup, I think he's going to come in and put together a 25-plus fantasy point week.
25-plus. All right. Yeah. Coming in a little hot.
And also, there, with Dak, the wide receiver injuries are an issue. And I think Odell's going to be worked into the offense a little bit more for the Rams.
I think the Odell thing is something really interesting I just want to touch on quickly. Because, you know, the Woods thing now, and Odell is there. I'm not starting Odell this week.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean,
you're he's on your team. You want to start him. I get it.
It's a wait and see, I think, still. Like,
yeah.
Like you said, you could say the wait and see game was the San Francisco game, but he was only on the 27%.
Yeah.
The snap rate's going to go up, and I think Green Bay, you might want to just wait a little bit and see what's going on. I think you can start the rest of these guys. Kupp, obviously, Daryl Henderson, Matt Stafford, I think are going to have a good game.
Yep, and I think both of those teams. And it's really interesting to see how they bounce back, because if they have another bad week, these two teams, like, it's a little bit of a trend after we've been so high on these offenses for so long. But I think there's still a lot to figure out, because usually at this point this season, like, we get to late November, and you're like, you know what's going on with these teams. You figure it out.
Yeah, but this season
this
has just
season's
been
just
off,
like crazy.
Like, we see the Texans beating the Titans.
Yeah. It's like I thought the Titans were good, and
yeah,
now they're not good.
Who knows,
good.
Who knows, like, who's going to win any given week? And that's why I think with the Rams losing to the Titans, losing to the Niners, I think they're going to get back on track.
Yep, I think it should be good. Well, that's going to do it for us. Everyone out there, have a good Thanksgiving. Watch some football.
Yeah, keep sending in those fan questions.
We need them.
I'm on Twitter at TheKMeister68. You know, send me some fan questions. We'll get to them, and we'll help you guys win some fantasy weeks.
Yep, sounds good. Well, Colin, thank you, and thank you guys for listening. I'm Maddie Wasserman signing off, and we will see you next week on the Fantasy Finessers podcast.